big niche market for people who have diabetes-related foot pain, mysterious headaches, eczema, joint inflammation, excess blood. But you never know what the drugs do from the names Ozempic, Cromular, Dupixent, Humira. Could be drugs, could be new car models, could be Norwegian death metal bands. So again, they sound like they're probably good for you, but after a while, I don't know if it's in our human genes or if it's a byproduct of marketing, which may also be in our genes, but sooner or later, it seems we turn away from the science of it. It's not Frankenstein, it's Frankenberry, the vampire is chocolate now, the werewolf is bite-sized, the fresheners smell like pine, which doesn't smell like pine, the medicine smells like hippie candles and tastes like malted milk balls. Well, I say it's all a weight loss grift, and I smell a rat. Maybe not, but I'm smelling something, and it sure isn't teen spirit. I gotta go.
Philosophy Talk is a presentation of KALW Local Public Radio San Francisco Bay Area, the trustees of Leland Stanford University, copyright 2023.
Our executive producer is Ben Treffman. The senior producer is Devin Strolovich. Laura McGuire is our director of research. Dan Brandon is the technical director.
Special thanks to Merle Kessler, Adam Bannister, Karen Ajluni, Linda Fagan, Elizabeth Zhu, Jamie Lee, and Emily Huang.
Thanks also to Michael Frank, Todd Davies, and the Stanford Symbolic Systems Program, which has generously sponsored tonight's episode.
And thanks to Patricia Tarasis and the staff here at the Stanford Humanities Center.
Support for Philosophy Talk comes from various groups at Stanford University and from the subscribers to our online community of thinkers.
And from the members of KALW San Francisco, where our program originates.
The views expressed or misexpressed on this program do not necessarily represent the views of Stanford University or of our other funders.
Not even when they're true and reasonable.
The conversation continues on our website, philosophytalk.org, where you too can become a subscriber to our library of more than 550 episodes. I'm Josh Land.
And I'm Ray Briggs. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for thinking.
From the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, on the air at 89.3 FM, online at WHFR.FM. Well, okay, Friday afternoon, Philosophy Talk in full effect here. Thanks for listening to that program, and thanks for being with us today for the Radiothon week here at WHFR. Now, of course, following the tagline for Philosophy Talk, we question everything except your intelligence, and we provide a world of programming for you here at WHFR. It includes music that you don't hear elsewhere on the radio dial. It includes conversations and discussion that obviously fall a little bit outside the mainstream. To me, personally, Philosophy Talk, one of my favorite programs that we offer here on WHFR, and I always enjoy listening to it every single week. We certainly hope that you do as well. Well, of course, the work that we have to do today, it makes it possible for this program and all of the other programs we hear on WHFR to happen. And then, of course, that's why Radiothon exists. We are a listener-supported, non-commercial public radio station broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College. Yes, they do a lot of work to help us be able to bring this programming to you. However, they don't do all of the heavy lifting, and we do rely on our listeners to provide some of the funds that keep this radio station on the air. Now, just in the last couple of years, that has meant a brand new broadcast antenna, a brand new transmitter, some other equipment upgrades, which makes it possible for WHFR to sound so much better to all of you than it ever has before, over the air at 89.3 and online at WHFR.FM. There's been some upgrades that have taken place with our streaming service as well. Well, of course, today is where we need you to step up, hopefully, and make your contribution to the station by calling us at 313-845-9676. And then when it picks up, you'll press option one and you'll come straight through to the studio. That's 313-845-9676. Or also you can contribute online at WHFR.FM, which is our website. Well, now on Friday afternoons, one of our traditions, of course, is the WHFR Journal, which is our weekly news and public affairs program. We're going to be here until 2 o'clock. At that point, Kitty Love will come up with Highway 61. She'll be playing some blues. and taking us on a little trip down to the Delta and enjoying all of the great music. Another one of the many, many types of music that we bring you here on WHFR. We hope you stick around for that. But, however, we also do have these conversations on Friday afternoon. Susan McGraw is the co-host of the WHFR Journal. Yeah, rough week for Susan to be feeling a little bit under the weather, but that is the case. Anyway, I'm Alan Mazurek, and I'm here with you for the WHFR Journal today for this Radiothon edition of the program. Again, once again, the phone number, 313-845-9676, or online at WHFR.fm. We're going to have some things coming up on the WHFR in just a moment. We will reset and take your phone calls here at WHFR Making Waves.
We'll be right back.
the WHFR Journal Radiothon edition here at 89.3 FM, online at WHFR.FM. We're going to take some time, hopefully taking your phone call, supporting this public radio station coming to you from the campus of Henry Ford College. You can call us at 313-845-9676. Or visit us online at WHFR.FM. When you go to that homepage, WHFR.FM, you're going to see the Donate to WHFR button right up there, front and center. Easy to find, easy to click on. It's going to tell you everything you need to know about how to support this radio station that brings you so many great, great varieties of music and, of course, news, conversation, things to think about, like we try to do on the WHFR Journal, and of course, like we do on Philosophy Talk, all thanks to the support of listeners just like you. This is the 1 week of the year that we ask for your support. Please call us now, 313-845-9676. Once it picks up, you're going to press 1 on your keypad, option 1, to come through to the studio, or of course, you can check in with us online at WHFR.FM. The WHFR Journal continues in just a moment. This is the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. Happy Radiothon here at WHFR. So glad to have you with us this Friday afternoon, the last day of March. Well, you know, we're going to file this under the category of the best laid plans of mice and men. Going back about 4 weeks ago, we were planning on talking to John Michael Savelle about a very unique project going on with the Henry Ford College Theater Department. Now, Dr. Savelle is our new director of theater. This is coming up, well, I guess towards the end of his first full year as the director of theater at Henry Ford College, and had what seemed like a great idea at the time, but Mother Nature probably had a few other plans. John Michael, welcome to the WHFR Journal, and let's explain a little bit about that.
Sure. Thank you so very much for having me in here today. Yeah, so HFC 23, the idea behind it was to create four brand new short plays over the course of just 23 hours. We would begin one evening where actors would meet with playwrights and they would all sort of get a feel for each other and life was great. And then the playwrights would walk away and write for several hours. And then the very next morning, our students would be in to take those scripts and figure out how to stage them, memorize the scripts, create costumes, create the set, etc., and then perform it that night. And so within this single 23-hour period, everything would happen, and it was brilliant, and then Mother Nature disagreed. And so what ended up happening was we did hold the first half of it.
Okay.
We got together with the playwrights, and they still wrote their plays within the required time and emailed them on time. And I have kept them in a lockbox ever since. No student knows anything about the plays, so that we can keep the integrity of it all, so that so as we come in and do this, they have them. So,
Thinking back from the first time we spoke about this, it reminds me of what Susan McGraw had mentioned about, you know, the 48-hour film challenge, where mm-hmm. you get a genre, you have to write a film, you have to obviously produce it, edit it, all those kinds of things. All right. So here we are today. The performance, let's get that out of the way first. The performance takes place this evening at the Adrey Auditorium.
At 7 p.m. That's
7 p.m. here,
yes,
on the Henry Ford College campus in building...
That's Building F in the Auditorium in the McKenzie Fine Arts Center.
Indeed. So that's going to take place tonight, and anybody who wants to see it can.
Absolutely. I'm very, very happy to say, especially considering the sort of unique nature of this, where we're asking people to come in and just embrace the joyous chaos. We have no idea what you're going to see. I'm very, very excited. But it is, especially considering that, it is completely free, and that is to faculty, that is to staff, that is general admission, what have you, due to some of the topics that sort of came up. We are recommending it, call it PG-13, maybe. Nothing too horrible in there, but probably not one to bring a seven-year-old to, if you will. But there's that, completely free. We are happily accepting any generous donations of food or non-perishables for the Hawk's Nest Food Pantry, or also cash donations that goes directly to our theater student club. That's not the student theater program, but for things like as they're trying to get scholarships to be able to go and check out different colleges that they might want to transfer to, club t-shirts, things like that. You know, those sort of things that don't come out of the school budget and they're always looking for. So cash donations for that, food for the Hawk's Nest, or just your smiling pretty faces. We would just love to see as many people there as possible.
So what do you think is the positive of doing something like this? I know we've talked in the past, you and I have talked in the past about, theater as a living, breathing thing. Mm-hmm. We talk about, you know, either theater, whether it's theater or classical music, you know, becoming a museum piece. But this sort of like, you know, it's a living, breathing thing, and it is continually changing and evolving. Is that part of wanting to do this?
Absolutely. I'm going to argue there are sort of two answers here, and part of it is exactly that. This idea that inspiration happens in the moment, right? That there's something glorious about celebrating the process of creating anew. And you can't get any more sort of unpolished and celebrating creating anew than to see it happening right in front of you, right? So there's absolutely that. But I would argue the other part of this is, as theater students, we are teaching them all the time to be ready for this inflexible deadline of an audience and trying to make everything as polished and crisp and clear as possible. And yet, as you go out into the real world, right, sometimes there are these things that it's just get it done. And sometimes getting it done is messy. And sometimes that messiness is glorious. And so many students, I think, come in with a real sense of perfectionism and a real sense of anxiety over what if it doesn't go right. Out of all the shows that we do, and this is one of three different productions this year, this is the one that we know it won't go right. And we're celebrating that. And we're saying, great, when those things happen, how do you deal with it? How do we move on? How do we create an evening of art and entertainment that we all love when we're not quite sure what it's going to look like till it's all over?
But it's not exactly improv. It's not like they're walking out on the stage not knowing what they're doing, but it's just sort of just letting go of those anxieties. Yes. And the perfectionism. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. So they will, they are working right now, and they are having some time to prep things. Mm-hmm. But the time that is usually baked in, the weeks of work that is usually baked in to make sure everyone is comfortable, there is no time to be comfortable here. It has to be kind of seizing the moment and proudly jumping in. And we're so excited to really give them that opportunity and to celebrate that opportunity.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the authors of these stories. As you mentioned, this process, which was supposed to only take 23 hours, mm-hmm. which has taken, 28 days.
Yes.
who did you bring into the corral to draft these stories?
Yes.
and put them out for the audience?
So this may or may not be, this is the first time and may or may not be the first of many, but especially for this first time, we wanted to make sure that we were bringing in area professionals who we knew, these plays will work. Let's see what the students can do with them. So I reached out to four members of the professional Dearborn professional playwriting community, and I'm so extraordinarily pleased. Jeffrey Chastang, Matt Harmon, Andrew Morton, and Juliana Gonzalez all stepped up and played this role for us. Came in, really met with the students, took their time to understand who the students were, what their interests were, and tried to create plays based off what they were seeing there and based off sort of tokens we gave them as inspiration. So they walked in also having no idea what was going to happen, met these people, we gave them a little item to say, this is your inspiration, now go away and write, and it has to be back to me in 11 hours. So one of the great things is, while our 23 hours had this gigantic break in the middle, the actual work has kept to the 23 hours. They did it during their time, it was due to me on time, and then again, I kept everything in a lockbox, and students weren't able to see it until we really began working today.
Nice. It sounds like a lot of fun for the students. Having done a couple of, and you know, just as I say, my point of reference was the 48-hour film festivals. I'm trying to remember the three I did. We had Hallmark movie, silent movie, which was a big challenge, and then romantic comedy were the three that we had to work on during that particular 48-hour film challenge. So okay, this is let's sort of recap on that, and then go into the rest of the season. So this is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
7 p.m.?
That's 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
And it should be roughly an hour long. To be clear, these plays are 10 to 15 minutes long apiece. That's it.
So this is not a 3 hours with two intermissions and all that kind of
stuff. No, we are not doing King Lear this evening. Four very short, very fun plays, and you should be out at roughly 8 p.m.
And a tremendous opportunity to see students learning their craft and getting up on stage and really just sort of letting it all hang out for everybody involved. Now, we did talk about, and again, it's not just the writers and the actors, how this works for the people involved with lighting and sound and all those other aspects of a production, which we kind of take for granted but are essential to the experience.
It should be noted the real heart of this project is our four student directors. Each are first-time directors. They have studied it in class, but this is the first time that they're stepping up and putting something on stage. So imagine if the first time you ever did something, it was for an audience, right? And that is what we're asking of them. But happily, it's sort of low stakes because it is that understanding of this sort of show. But yeah, these four
You're
students,
not asked to do, Macbeth or exactly, King Lear, as you mentioned. Yeah, right, exactly.
But with a project like this, these students have this opportunity to really try their hand at it, see how much they like it, and then if they do, we will be holding some more traditional student-directed one-acts coming up next year where they can then start to apply these skills and really, really show what they've got.
Well, we've talked, and again, we've talked about it in the past, making this sort of, something that evolves and something that changes. What do we have coming up for the rest of the season? You mentioned that this is, the second to last production for this season.
Brilliant. Thank you for asking. Yeah, it's been a very, very full first year. I'm so thankful to those that came out to see our first show, The Passage, and then our second show, which was 5 a.m. Pancakes along with Tenderly. Now we have HFC 23, but coming up in April, I'm so absolutely excited to bring one of my very, very, very favorite plays to HFC. It's The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged. And this is a play that I've toured around a couple times in the past. I toured around to high schools, and I love it because you say The Complete Works of William Shakespeare and people get a little afraid. And then you explain that Godzilla shows up in it, and you explain that it's three actors attempting to perform all 37 plays in roughly 90 minutes, and it all goes horribly wrong, and people start to get, this is a wonderful slapstick, very silly comedy. It's definitely designed that if you love Shakespeare, you will adore this. There are so many sort of references that you'll be able to Twitter at to be very proud to understand. And if you have never read Shakespeare or think you can't stand him, it is especially for you. The vomit jokes go on all day. It is a lovely, lovely, hilarious play.
So The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged. When are the performances there? This is in April, obviously before the end of the semester, correct?
That's correct. That is Friday, April 28th at 7:30 p.m. and Saturday, April 29th at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. So only three shows to see this really wonderful, wonderful play. But it will be in the Adrey Auditorium over in Building F on campus. And we see, over 300 people. So we'll save a seat for you. But do make sure it's only those three shows. And we would love to pack the house.
And what has the theater experience been? This is sort of like, something we always talk about coming back from COVID, where actors and we're not able to engage with an audience in person, and really probably like the first full year for this class of students that came in, being able to be in front of an audience and show their craft.
I'm really, really glad you asked that, specifically because of two shows. The first one is while we were getting ready to do The Passage, we spoke a lot about that, about why is it important that we're doing this show? Why is it important that we tell this story? Why is it important that we do it as a community? And it was a show that really looked at how a community responded.
And for those who don't remember, The Passage, the narrative of the story.
Yeah, The Passage is somewhat based on Herman Melville's Moby Dick.
Mm-hmm.
But But whereas the novel takes place entirely sort of at sea, basically, you know, and all is concerned with the people who are on board that ship and chase that whale, The Passage spends half of its time thinking about the people back in Massachusetts and the people who are seeing them sail away and the people that are left behind. And this idea of how we deal with tragedy, how we deal with these events that happen, both the people that they happen to and the people that are left standing behind. And it really pushed us, I think, to present that story with heart and courage and connect with our audience. And I say that I was excited about two shows, one that, but also looking forward to the fall, sort of an announcement here. Our first show in the fall is going to be called Leo's Big Day Out. And it is a wonderful children's musical that centers on a child and his aunt who is raising him, and his aunt is terrified of leaving the house. She is experiencing basically sort of agoraphobia and just doesn't want to go out and is afraid to let him out, and the world has just become a little too scary for her. And throughout the course of this wonderful, very fun, very silly show, Leo is able to get out there and experience this wonderful world and to experience the sky and the trees, and his cat is able to get out with him, and they just come to appreciate it all. And his aunt finally by the end has this happy ending of being able to be out on her stoop and seeing her neighborhood again and really sort of reconnect with what it means to be part of a community. And so coming out of COVID, coming out of everything, connecting to people through stories, and especially through a story like Leo's Big Day Out this fall, is just, I think, really paints why theater exists and why we do what we do.
As somebody who doesn't live their life, or certainly not, you know, experienced or schooled in the concept of theater, where do these stories come from? In terms of, you know, are these contemporarily written, or where do you find these stories?
So, outstanding question. Yeah. So, the nice thing is, I'm never going to run out of scripts to consider, because, you know, they're going back thousands of years.
Is your inbox full of all these scripts that people have?
And people are writing new ones every single day, right? And I do get emailed scripts all the time. Students come to me with scripts. But there is... we talk about the great American novel and how everyone wants to write it, but I swear there are more people trying to write the great American play.
I'm trying to live it, not write it, but yeah.
And one of the things that I'm really trying to do as much as possible is, as we are finding these plays, making sure that they are more representative of our community that we are part of. And so that has included, even this year, the playwrights that we have shown. It's not sort of a strictly white male sort of playwright group as has sort of dominated American theater for, you know, the past century. And both this year and moving forward, making sure that there's much greater representation in terms of gender, in terms of race, in terms of culture, etc. Actually, one of the things I'm most proud about is with Leo's Big Day Out. Brilliant show by a black Latino man out of New York who has written this play with several different cultures represented. And of them, there were two different characters who were both Latina. But one of them was the aunt. And I was speaking to this playwright. I said, I would love to do it here in Dearborn. I just wish, because we have this wonderful Arab population here. And this character has lines where she's teaching words in Spanish and she's trying to raise her nephew. And is there anything we can do? And this wonderful playwright said, yes, let's do it. And so we are tweaking the script and changing it around so that character is now going to be a middle-aged Arab woman who is trying to figure out how to sort of come out and be part of this wonderful community all around her. So I'm so very thankful to Aaron Coleman for doing that. And especially because you're talking about new plays. That play's had one performance before at Circle in the Square in New York City. So one of the best theaters in the country, it's performed there, and the next performance is going to be with us. And he's making that change also to the script for us. So thrilled. Brand new stuff all the time that I hope reflects the America and specifically the, you know, the local area that we serve.
Well, there are many stories we have heard and many stories we have yet to discover. Let's put it this way, that tonight we're going to hear probably some of the newest stories that nobody's ever seen before, with HFC 23 taking the stage at 7 o'clock this evening in the Adrae Auditorium, Building F here on the Henry Ford College campus. John Michael Seffel, Dr. Seffel, it's always great to talk to you. I'm Alan Mazurek. Good luck tonight. Well, no, I can't say good luck, right? This is theater. I say break a leg, right?
My legs will be broken. Thank you so much. I appreciate it so very, very much. Appreciate your time.
We look forward to seeing it, and we thank you for being on the WHFR Journal today. I'm Alan Mazurek. This is the WHFR Journal Radiothon Week. We have more on the way here on WHFR Making Waves. This is Radiothon Week here at WHFR, Making Waves at 89.3, online at WHFR.fm. I'm Alan Mazurek. Thank you so much for being with us for the WHFR Journal, with you every single week on 1 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, with news and events, things going on here on the Henry Ford College campus, in our community, and also all those other perspectives, things that are really central to the mission of what WHFR is all about. Of course, we are a community radio resource, public radio station, broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College. A long history. We have been here since 1985, and of course, we owe a great debt of thanks to hundreds, maybe thousands of volunteers who have been a part of the station over the course of these 37 years. And of course, we owe a great big debt of gratitude to those who have supported the station over those years. And that's why we're here today during Radiothon 2023, so that you can be a part of that tradition and show your support for the station by calling us at 313-845-9676. And then once it picks up, press option one. It sends you straight through to the studio, or again, WHFR.fm. Again, the number is 313-845-9676. We'll be here for another, coming up on half hour or so. Kitty Love will be here at 2 o'clock, taking us on a trip down Highway 61. That is a great drive. She's going to take us on with some blues for our Friday afternoon. Again, I'm Alan Mazurek. Actually, we've got a very special guest coming into the station here today. Everything old is, I'm trying to remember, Richard. Everything old is new again. Is that what we
like
want to
that.
Say? Something
yeah.
like that? All right. So, again, we're celebrating the history of WHFR over the course of these past 37, going on 38 years, but also building and making a better radio station for the future. And, of course, as you know, having listened to WHFR for so many years, all of you listening to us right now to the WHFR Journal, this station has existed to do something different, something you don't hear elsewhere on the radio dial. So let's introduce our second guest here today on the WHFR Journal, Richard Pyatt, former general manager of WHFR. Let's explain all of this.
Yeah. Hello, Alan.
And I'm sure we have listeners who are going to know that voice and know this person.
Well, hello out there to all of you who might remember. I go back a ways, back to the early 90s as a student at WHFR, and then eventually a general manager type who helped as a part-time person to run the operations at the station. And you talked about a little bit about how the past has really been one in which many folks have supported this station. But I'll tell you, it goes both ways, in the sense that folks like me who came here as a student, who had an aspiration to be in broadcasting and had our our dreams and paths recognized by virtue of the encouragement and the opportunities that are here. So, you know, certainly it's true that, someone might be enticed to support this station because they love it and bring it.
Power to you. Yeah, yes. Right, exactly.
But if you're listening to this and you're inclined to support education or the arts, this was a learning vehicle in that, under that umbrella, for a lot of us who came through here. I was a person who, when I was in high school, knew I wanted to work in radio. Unlike, you know, some of my brethren in high school, we were still trying to figure ourselves out. But I knew that. And so when I came here, it was largely because of WHFR, because it was an FM broadcast station, which was a learning ground, training ground, that there are several choices that, around here, fortunately, but this one was well regarded and really not all that old at the time, you know, less than 10 years old when I was here. But
I'm doing the math in my head, yes.
Yeah, so it was a terrific place to be. So if you have been waiting for the right notion to pick up the phone and make the call, or go to WHFR.FM and click that donate button, which I did earlier today, and it is super simple. It was done in 3 minutes or something. It was really fast.
Nice.
Do that.
Thank you. And we'll say thank you to everybody who either calls in or supports us online. Well, you get our enduring thanks for supporting the radio station.
Very true. Yeah, so it was a terrific learning ground, and not just about radio. I mean, there were folks here when I was here, like me, who had interest in broadcasting, but there were other folks who were here and inspired because of music, let's say, or because of what you just talked about, the inspiration that really was that of the founder of the station, Jay Kornick, who said, we want to do things here that are different than anything else you'll hear anywhere else. And so that provided a pathway for some of the bands you hear on the station and still continue to hear. So some folks might have been motivated to come and do this because they like music, or they just felt like it was a cool place to be. So it was a mix of a lot of folks, I presume it's still that way, who are motivated in different ways. But it provided an experience here that was quite meaningful, I think, for all of us.
Well, there's a couple of things in play there in terms of, you know, what we know WHFR to be and everything that people love about WHFR, specifically here on the WHFR Journal, news and views and information important to our community. Obviously, over the past 3 years, we kind of got thrown for a loop. Mm-hmm. Actually, about 3 years ago, just a couple of weeks ago, where we haven't been able to do a lot of the live music. Actually, if listeners have been paying attention during the course of Radiothon, we have started to bring back performances from our studios. Truly one of the unique things that we're able to provide here at WHFR. And then, of course, just this wide range and variety of music. And I always like to think of it as, you know, a very important thing that was brought up there, Richard, was, you know, the idea of this being a training ground, a proving ground, an opportunity to go out there and do something. Sometimes it's going to be great. Sometimes you're going to listen to it afterwards and say, okay, well, you know, maybe I can do better. You know what? That does not happen on the radio very often. Certainly not in a city the size of Detroit.
True.
And it's really tremendous to have this resource, this opportunity for people who want to discover what the broadcast arts is, I think, the technical term, are all about. And, you know, and we're only able to do it when we have support from our listeners here at WHFR. That's why we're here during Radiothon. 313-845-9676. Press option 1 when it answers, or visit us online at WHFR.FM. Looks like Kitty Love's getting ready to gas the car up and take us on a trip down Highway 61 in just a little bit, but Richard, so what, and I remember those days when WHFR first went on the air. You know, I was trying to remember if I was still in high school or graduated from high school yet when the station went on the air, and it seemed like this was a tremendous resource and opportunity for the Dearborn community.
Sure, and the college as well. It was an opportunity to promote, like you just did a few minutes ago, talking about theater and so on, an opportunity to tell the community about what was happening here, but also talk about what things were happening outside of campus in the general Dearborn and environs. And Jay certainly did that for a number of years here on WHFR Journal. Called it Dearborn Journal back then, as I recall. So that's the part about the learning experience here, was that there were all kinds of different formats, right? So we had the opportunity to present different kinds of programming and learn about it. But, you know, news and talk radio was and still is, to some extent, a big part of the formats that are out there. And so learning how to make that work was one of the things that we did. And through the broadcast journalism course here at Henry Ford, it provided an opportunity for folks who might have had an interest in news to do that. You're teaching that. I've taught it. Yeah. It really was, and actually was one of the courses when I took it that was a verifier. It solidified that's really what I wanted to do, and it was pretty darn cool. So that's the kind of experience that folks are supporting when they help WHFR.
Exactly, and do that today. And yes, I've taught the radio station training class, and I'm sure you have as well. One of the things I say is, if you had to pick a way to run a radio station, this is not the way to do it. But that is what makes WHFR so unique.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that. I remember
nobody who works in, you know, like Mega Million Dollars commercial radio is going to tell you this is how to run a radio station. You know, but it's perfect for us.
It's pretty cool. Close, though. And format-wise, you're right. I mean, generally speaking, as you dial across the dial, you find specific formats and stations stick to those. This is sort of a combination of all of those things.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know, you do one thing, you do it to death. That's what we find on radio stations. But
yes, Jay Karnick's vision was that we would do a little of all of those things, but you generally wouldn't be hearing same things here. However, the way in which the operation runs, and that's part of the other part of the education of it, is very similar. And it gave us an opportunity to understand how do you put a radio station together, how do you keep it running, what are the behind-the-scenes things. Just like anywhere else, there's folks who want to be in front of the mic, and then there's folks who say, I'll just be behind the scenes. You know, so you got that experience either way here, and you learned a lot about how to run it. And that was really cool.
It is indeed. And sounding better than ever.
True.
In the past, since 1985. I'm not going to try and do the math in my head, but I know it was 1985 when we went on the air.
Yeah.
And really, even in the last year, all of the technical upgrades that have taken place, and part of this, you know, whatever, listeners, all of us, as listeners and supporters of the station, take it for granted. We expect that when we go to 89.3, we're going to hear, well, we might not know what we're going to hear, but we're going to hear something that hopefully is going to catch our attention, or again, online at WHFR.FM. And it's time for us during this Radiothon 2023 to be able to kind of, I don't want to say replenish the rainy day fund, because there have been some expenses that have taken place over the last year, the new transmitter, the new antenna, all those things, but to also sort of build for the future and create a WHFR that continues to be relevant for the Dearborn community, number one, and then obviously the global community. We're doing that right now during Radiothon 2023 by asking for your support at 313-845-9676 or online at WHFR.FM. It's the WHFR Journal. We'll be back with more in a moment.
This is Radiothon 2023, as we branch out into the community, and you can be part of it too, just by calling with your pledge at 313-845-9676. That's 313-845-9676, or go to our website at whfr.fm. That's whfr.fm, or give us a call at 313-845-9676.
All right. Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for that. Yes, 313-845-9676 or online at WHFR.FM. I'm Alan Mazurek. It's the WHFR Journal Radiothon 2023 edition. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. And we do have special guests here in the studio. We're going to start with Richard Payette, former general manager of WHFR. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Richard was a student first, so it eventuated, but yes.
and of course, this was we've been in this beautiful studio here in the M building here at Henry Ford College for a number of years. Mm-hmm. So where were we during your time with the radio station? And we're certainly glad to have you back.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here. We were down in the windowless dungeon basement of the Fine Arts Building way back then, which to us was magnificent. And I should tell you a story. So it was one room, and half of the room was studios, and half of the room was offices, right? So we had these large record and CD racks in between to kind of muffle the sound. But generally speaking, it's not like now where we had studios that we'd close the door and it was quiet. So if we were intending to open the mic and do a segment like we're doing now, we would have to yell, "Live mic!" You know, so people would be quiet. So that, here we are years later. I started my own business, and it's called Live Mic Communications. Nah. And that really is where that word came from. Came from here, yeah. But yes, it was that downstairs room that's probably full of boxes or something now in the Fine Arts Building.
And of course, you know, Richard, you're one of, dozens, if not hundreds, of people who have come through WHFR and moved on to professional careers in whatever level of communications industry that they're involved in. And it's part of what we do. There's the music that we play. Again, the mission of, from, you know, people who listen to us, mm-hmm. stuff you don't hear anywhere else on the radio. Right. I mean, we had, you know, Joe with Big Band Broadway and Beyond earlier in the day.
Right.
Kitty Love's coming up to play us some blues and take us on a trip down Highway 61. That does not happen on the radio very often.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. In fact, we were just chatting a moment ago because she reminds me of Highway 61 founder Joanne Korczynska. She reminds me so much of her. So it's magnificent that Joanne's passion has continued.
Oh, this, you just gave me a flashback,
yeah.
And this is years before my involvement with Henry Ford College or WHFR, driving my red Honda Civic down the Southfield Freeway, listening to Highway 61, and Joanne, of course, was the host at that time. So that's part of, obviously, our Friday afternoon tradition, part of what we do, what we have provided to the community for a number of years. Speaking of special guests, how's your voice? Susan,
I
woohoo! Yeah, all right. You've got the radiothon voice on. So let's talk about that tradition and what WHFR meant and means to our community, and then obviously we'll give that phone number before you do, 313-845-9676 to make your pledge, or online at whfr.fm.
Well, thank you. And Richard, this is a wonderful blast from the past.
Oh, it
really feels like a homecoming,
yeah.
I think, in so many ways. But so happy to have you here. And Alan, who is, he is stoic and just, you know when somebody knows their stuff when you meet them. And that was me. The day I met Alan, I knew that we were in good hands. So my experience with WHFR started when we were a club, before we were, of course, on the radio. Mm-hmm. And so we played music out into the Pagoda Room, which is now the pavilion at the college. And so we were just going through speakers right here.
Yeah.
And then we kind of kept working on it with, of course, Jay Kornick and his just brilliance and passion. And throughout the course of me being a student in those 2 years here at Henry Ford College, I got bit by that bug, that radio bug. And after school, I did some radio at Wayne State as I finished my degree. Then I went off and did this professionally for a number of years. Came back, circled back around just to kind of help out with a class and so on. And that's when I think I met you, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it all just kind of clicked into place for me. And my passion is broadcast. My love is teaching of students and working with wonderful, like-minded colleagues. And supporting a group of, artists and musicians that would not normally get a voice,
mm-hmm.
and doing all this for our wonderful radio listener, you, for listening to us today. So thank you for that. Thank you for giving me, Richard, Alan, Kitty, and so many of us, past, present, and future, this tremendous opportunity. We couldn't do it without WHFR radio. So
true.
And, of course, WHFR cannot exist without the support of our listeners, which is why we're here today during Radiothon 2023. 313-845-9676. And then once it picks up, you're going to press option 1 to get through to the studio here, or WHFR.fm. Of course, we need to take a moment to thank everybody who has returned the piece of mail that they got a couple of weeks ago and sent in their check to support the station over the, for the next year. But also, WHFR.fm, a great way to get in touch with us and make your contribution to the station.
Very smart to put the button right there at the front. Easily done.
Oh, yeah. We know what we're doing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. Oh, gosh. It's time to officially announce that this is WHFR Dearborn, 89.3 FM, online at WHFR.fm. And let's see. Where do we go next? We're going to take the exit ramp or entry ramp, right? and put ourselves on Highway 61. Kitty Love coming up next here on WHFR Making Waves. This is the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek.
one.